The Fan on Demand. Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Well, how about that football, everybody? Lots of fun. Let's talk about it, shall we?
Welcome to the Soccer Central Podcast. James Sharman here with Brendan Dunlop and Thomas Dobby. Well, boys, how about that football? Not bad, huh?
Not bad at all, I might say.
Behind us, preparing for the quarterfinals. Yeah, goal scoring's down a little bit, but I think the drama that's replaced all those goals is well worth the trade, isn't it?
Is it still Luis Suarez's World Cup, James?
I think it might be.
Because last week we talked about it and we thought, we kind of predicted, oh, the goals are going to go down because it's going to get a bit more tense, but the drama hopefully will overshadow Luis Suarez and we won't think of that. And I think it lived up to expectations. The goals went down a bit. Six straight games after today's Belgium-US game were 0-0 at halftime. But then the drama just picks up in the second halves and extra times, 5 out of 8 going to extra time. I don't think you can ask for much more in terms of drama and late game heroics than what we got.
Sure. Sharman the curmudgeon from last week was all worried
well,
that Luis Suarez.
I still think it's a Luis Suarez bite World Cup.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Even after his apology yesterday?
Yeah.
His apology yesterday.
Yeah, Chiellini says it's okay.
Yes, in that case. You know, I guarantee you this will happen. Guarantee you. Once, you know, during the actual event, the whole world's watching. FIFA's strong and stern and winning the world's respect. And then the World Cup finishes. The rest of the world stop worrying about football and they'll slash that.
They'll reduce it.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be shocked either.
Guarantee you.
Even Giorgio Chiellini wants it. Is that because Luis Suarez is coming to Juve, perhaps?
Maybe more like Barcelona.
Throwing it out there.
More like Barcelona. Apparently.
Who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, the 8 group winners advanced. Also, a little nugget here I read somewhere. Out of all the teams that bragged about being celibate during the World Cup, they're out. Gone home. Yep. So getting
serves
laid
you right.
Gets you far in the World Cup is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it serves you right if you try to uphold that.
Absolutely.
See you later.
It's like 2 weeks.
Yeah, they probably wanted to get home so they could go have sex. That's what happened. Obviously.
Gagging for it.
Yeah.
So oh, my God. Just concede this penalty, for God's sakes, please.
Yeah.
Anyway. Brazil. Sorry, what's that?
I was going to say, no copies of Nuts left in the store.
Airport in Rio.
Yeah.
Brazil won, Chile won. That one, it may have been the match of the last 16. Great, great tilt. 3-2 Brazil advance. On penalties. Hulk, I thought, re-emerged in that game. I know it was his mistake that led to the goal. I know he missed a handball call on a goal, which I thought was a bad call, by the way, although it's very tight, though. But he emerged, and isn't that important? That I think last time we discussed, if it's not Neymar, who's he going to be? Well, you know, he wasn't great, but he was far better than he had been.
Yeah, I agree. I think that that's still the case, but at least for one match, it looked like the gap was closed, and maybe Neymar doesn't have to carry as much of the load. I think that you're going to need Hulk to continue at that level and be better, and you're going to need someone else to do it as well. And if it's not Oscar, or if it's not Paulinho, who's lost his form, I'm not sure where it comes from.
Yeah, I mean, I think we kind of handed this one to Brazil last week and, you know, incorrectly dispelled Chile's chances after they weren't great against the Netherlands, but they showed us again that they are on that stage and they are a force because, you know, they hung right with Brazil, had every opportunity, and it wouldn't have been, you know, out of the realm for them to go through. Obviously, penalties is, as we always call it, a lottery. It's a cliche, but it was, and that penalty shootout was so interesting because it looked like Brazil all the way, and then Chile tied it up, and then, of course, you know, miss at the end. But it just shows that the powers in South America that they're growing, and, you know, Colombia being the other one who are there now, I think, with Brazil and Argentina in the conversation of teams that are carrying the flag for South America. And, you know, just, you thought, wow, a big team like Brazil being put to that test in the last 16 to almost go out, shocking. And then we saw it a couple more times over the last few days where it was just the norm. And we talked about it on the way up here, nobody's really stood out. The one team, if you had to say the best team overall so far in this World Cup in the 4 matches they've played, it's probably Colombia. And if you would have said that pre-tournament, you'd be shocked.
Yeah, especially without Falcao.
Yeah.
You know, no Falcao, well, who's going to score the goals? Well, they start Teo, but it's not from the top striker who's scoring. It's James Rodriguez,
mm-hmm.
who continues his form. And I know we lauded him in the last podcast for a great group phase, but boy, he was outstanding against Uruguay. He really was. And two goals in that one, five now on the tournament. Cuadrado was brilliant as well.
He was. He stepped up his game as well.
So 11 goals for Colombia, but only two against as well.
Yeah.
And that's not being talked about right now. They're pretty solid at the back as well.
Very solid.
They're probably the most complete team I've seen so far.
And was that not the only criticism for Colombia for the most part? I think a lot of people still rated them to be better than... To do well and top their group, favorites top their group despite not having Falcao. But at the back, everyone said, old man Yepes, he's going to let them down.
He's been great.
He's been great, and so is the other three guys alongside him.
Although Uruguay were really disappointing again, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the lack of Suarez, you know, take something from that team. But the whole way the whole team and country behaved post-Suarez was an embarrassment. And I thought that team didn't seem into the match at all, like they were just distracted.
Not hungry, right?
Yeah.
They've lost that hunger.
No pun intended, good punters.
Actually, I mean, was no pun intended.
That's a bit of an old team that, you know, didn't really have the legs, whereas you compare it to Colombia, who's a young team in a lot of regards and, you know, gelling at the right time. It's, you know, very different. It's the old versus new. And I think for the neutral, I think we're happy that, you know, the eight group winners did get through because it sets up for incredible quarterfinals. Okay, Netherlands, Costa Rica, maybe the least tasty of the others, but the three.
Married,
good.
If we've learned anything, another don't write them off just yet.
Never too many buttons on this podcast.
Brazil, Colombia, I think, might be the one I'm most looking forward to just because, you know, the way that Colombia is playing, you couldn't play a better form team right now. And I'm not going to write them off, that's for sure.
No. I think you want to see the hosts go far as well. I just think you need that in a World Cup. From a TV standpoint, it's not that big a deal. But certainly if you're there, it's a huge deal. Is the quarterfinals long enough? Is that considered deep?
For Brazil?
It's got to be semifinals?
Absolutely not.
No, not for them. I know as a footballing standpoint, no. But as far as you want to see the hosts go a long way in a tournament, is the quarterfinals, will it lose something if they go out now as opposed to the semifinals?
Yeah, I think so. I think when the hosts are South Korea and Japan, anything, you know, at the level of quarterfinals is a grand success. Even France in 98. If the USA had reached the quarterfinals beyond that, I mean, people would have been off their heads. But Brazil, in any tournament, no matter where it's played or expected to go so far, it's win or nothing.
Going to mention, I almost forgot, you know Pinilla, who hit the crossbar late in that Chile-Brazil game? Did you see his tattoo?
No.
He's got a tattoo done, I think yesterday, and it is of that. It's the goal and the ball hitting the crossbar.
Really?
And the caption is something along the lines of an inch from glory or something. It's a really nice tattoo, but I'm thinking, that's an emotional tattoo. That's dangerous, man.
Yeah,
because
why
do you
remember
that?
Remind yourself for the rest of your life. An inch from glory.
On his
what
back.
I'm not sure where it is.
Lower back, likely, but I read on his back.
Not champ stamp?
Sportsnet,
he's not champ stamping.
Connected tonight. Might as well, if you're going to go that far.
You haven't got a champ stamp, have you?
I got the score tattooed in my lower back.
Nice.
I've had it covered over since. 12-year NHL deal is what it says now.
Nice. All right, so yeah, Brazil-Colombia, that's going to be a great match. Next up, we have the Dutch against Costa Rica. All right. I don't know,
you're laughing because
I'm still giving no respect to Costa Rica, am I?
Right.
But boy, let's be honest, Greece-Costa Rica, that was a dour affair.
God,
it was
game.
Just, please hurry up and end.
I was caught in transit, and it was I was happy because I clearly didn't miss anything, but I also got to listen to it on the radio, and Tommy Smith was doing the game. And he was so angry, and I forget who was calling the game with him. Donaldson, I believe it was, and he'd interrupt his play calling because Tommy Smith was just wobbling back and forth. He says, you're wobbling, like, you really hate this. And he's like, I hate it. And he was offering nothing because he knew he was just going to speak negativity. And every time they missed a shot, the reaction from the two of them was just, my goodness, this is the World Cup. It's quite funny.
But still the drama, right? I mean, we talk about it's going to be not a very memorable match because of the teams that were playing and, you know, how it kind of played. But when you look at the things that happened with the red card and the late goal and going to penalties,
and
they're still talking points,
was
right?
Oh, Navas,
brilliant.
Are we so
stellar.
Spoiled that this World Cup has been so good?
Yes.
That we're saying, oh, what a dour match. I mean, that last World Cup, that would have been a brilliant standout match.
It would have been the best game
of
the tournament.
Last World Cup, we remembered the last 5 minutes. Oh, that's a pretty good game because of the drama, but you forget about the 85 minutes of insipid putrid puke.
Yeah.
Which is what that was.
We just got so many good games that, okay, that one might be the least memorable of the weekend in a lot of regards, but tell that to a Greece or Costa Rica fan because it had a bit of everything when it was all said and done.
I called it vomit-inducing in my blog, and some guy said, "Dad, you idiot, that's not vomit-inducing." Something like that. Well, maybe it is for me. Maybe I was actually puking during that match. How the hell do you know? You know, don't criticize that.
Yeah,
the one part of my blog. Yeah, exactly. Maybe.
Who was it? Yeah, take it easy, Jan Vertonghen. Isn't that who was throwing up today?
Yeah. Oh my God, that was a surprise in the pack.
Yeah.
Me and Joey did the pack for the for Connected, and we had no idea that was in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. Awful. Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah. Just so you know. But anyway, Costa Rica advanced, which is still an amazing story.
Great
story. To see their brilliant goalkeeper, who's one of these stories of this World Cup. And it's funny, this World Cup, right? You know, we're celebrating all these goals and attacking football, but there's been some brilliant goalkeeping performances, including from Navas, Ochoa, and Yema.
Tim Howard today.
Timmy Howard today. Boy, we'll get to that, but boy, what a performance.
Yeah,
you know?
Goalkeepers, you know, never get the love that the goal scorers do. But wouldn't you say that the goalkeeping this tournament has been, you know, on a level that's near, if not equal to, as stellar as the goals that we've seen?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and from guys that you would never expect. If it was from the Casillas and Buffons and even you know, Lloris or any those bigger ilk teams of the ones that are gone home. But when you look at, you know, it's Enyema from Nigeria, Navas from Costa Rica, and these Ochoa from Mexico, who doesn't have a club that, you know, that's obviously well known now. He went down with Ajaccio. That is what it's incredible to see, that these guys are, you know, everyday guys just becoming heroes in their countries.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what the World Cup's about, right? And they'll, you know, never be forgotten. Unfortunately for Pena, you know, as a tattoo of,
to
know,
remind him,
a hero
every time he looks in the mirror. Oh yeah, that one.
Oh,
no matter what he accomplishes now in his career, he might win a World Cup one day. You know, and now it's going to be like, nope. Boy,
some people, people, it's permanant.
Hey, listen,
you guys are both
Grandpa.
Well tatted. Yeah, I know you guys.
I'm not complaining that hard about it, but I said give it a few, let it breathe, man.
Sure.
Let the result breathe a little bit before you start getting inked.
You're the anti sports tattoo guy, but if you know, if England won the World Cup in your lifetime, would there be any influential ink?
Probably not.
No.
But okay. Listen, that's a redundant question. It's never going to happen. But
I've thought about getting a Jay's tattoo.
Yeah, I thought about getting a liver bird, I must admit.
Yeah
as part of a greater mural
art
type thing.
Yeah. I have a great Blades tattoo on my
leg. It's very nice.
I don't regret it. I never will.
Yeah.
And you get the original one so that it's...
The trouble is you get an England one, like three lines, and you're this lout. Right? We've
pops.
All seen them. Like your dad, for example, right? We're Steve W, you know? There's enough Steve W's in the world.
Every
there's one. That's enough.
Yeah.
Joking, Steve.
Every time they walk around, it's, you're from Sheffield. No one mistakes it.
Steve W, by the way, invited me to TFC next weekend, but of course, I have to do the third place game.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yay.
Where would I rather be?
Saturday.
Getting smashed with Steve, that's where I'll tell you that much. Dutch, Mexico, 2-1. Bye-bye, Mexico. Nice story while it lasted. What drama. I mean, this was the drama, wasn't it, of the World Cup so far. Incredible. It wasn't quite United Bayern 1999, but it wasn't far off, was it?
No, it didn't seem
to go. I mean, I've used the joke on Twitter a million times probably, but the Dutch oven just completely, you know, heating up. And the goal was coming, but at the same time, when you're that close, it's like the Champions League final. I mean, Real Madrid and Atletico, you just think, can they hang on? And you get to that point where you're seeing 87 minutes tick on the clock, and okay, brilliant goal from Snyder. I mean, on the volley like that to equalize. And then at that point, you could only see one winner. It reminded me so much of that Real and Atletico final, because once that went in, you thought, okay, the better team, the team with, you know, fresher legs and the team with more going forward at this point are going to get the job done. But so close to being out. And I think we're going to look back on this round of 16 when we get to the final, because of the teams that have the best chance to win it, with Argentina, Germany, Brazil, and you can, you know, hump the Netherlands in there. The four of those, three of them went to extra time. One of them went to penalties, and one of them was down in the 87th minute and had to come back and score, you know, two in the last 5 minutes. It's really incredible, because I think if you see two of those teams play each other in the final, you'll think back and think they could have both been out, you know, 10 days ago in the round of 16.
Sure. And yeah, you mentioned it, like on form, Colombia and Belgium, based on their last 16 games, look the strongest, which is astonishing. The Dutch, I mean, they were minutes away from going home, and you know, what is it about South America? I mean, I really thought that it was Mexico would hang on because of the heat, because they didn't seem nearly as bothered.
It was the opposite, though, wasn't it? You know, at times.
Yeah.
See, this much Van Gaal's loving it, though, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
This moment in the sun.
Oh, he's perfect for Man United already.
Yeah,
he scored a late equalizer and win it as well.
His changes, right? You know, had the water break, the first official water break, by the way.
Sure.
Exciting.
You're not supposed to coach.
No, you're not. And he did. He coached Wow, what a rebel. Of course he coached.
What a story.
But listen, bring on Huntelaar, taking over RVP. Not many men would have that courage. I mean, oh, listen, RVP was knackered, right? Let's be honest. But still, it straight away paid dividends, right? Gets a great assist. And then for Huntelaar, I give him so much credit. For him to say, I'll take this penalty.
Yep.
He's been in the field 5 minutes.
Yep.
And he struggled with Schalke as well.
I believe
he
lost his job as the Schalke penalty taker at some point this season.
Yeah.
Hasn't played. I mean, talk about pressure. When I thought he was going to miss just because he had to wait for so long and the stall tactics, and he just etched on his face. And, you know, it was a clean penalty. And another one of those moments that we saw this weekend that you can't even remember them all. You can't even, at the end of this tournament, we're going to think
doing
back.
A moments piece?
Oh, God.
How big is your little black book there?
Right now, it's completely in disarray. Like, look, you can't see.
Well, I envision that as soon as you bought it home from
this stuff.
Five Star.
It's like someone with no arms wrote this with their toes. It's awful, but it's actually coming quite handy. Look at that. Can you read that? Can you decipher that?
No idea.
It's horrendous. I managed, but I guess neither. It's been very helpful to me, the poor man's black book.
Okay.
It has. France, Nigeria. Again, Nigeria played France really well in this game.
They did.
Nigeria was a good story. They really were, because they were a lot more organized than I thought they'd be. That's for sure. But in the end, France kind of grew into the game. I thought Valbuena's been very quietly one of the top players of this year's tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, that highlight pack was like Valbuena, 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 Valbuena.
You've always had a crush on him.
Well, he's small and short.
Is that why you respect him for being like achieving so much?
Yeah, he's done well.
For himself?
It's a predicament.
Nice young man.
Finds himself in. He isn't actually the shortest person at the World Cup.
He isn't? Is it Jaron Shaqiri? No.
No, but he's up there. He's up there. He's down there.
He's not the shortest.
No,
the
he's
World
not.
Cup.
No, and who is it? Someone I didn't even notice. He's so small.
It's not
probably.
Giovinco.
No. But he's, I saw the top five.
It's not Valbuena.
The top five shortest in the World Cup, and he wasn't even in the five.
He wasn't
in the five?
No, he wasn't. You talk about this game. I'll try and find it here.
Yeah, please do.
This is the one game of the weekend I didn't actually watch, so I don't really have much to say on it.
I watched it back in fast forward for about 65 minutes, I would say. Yeah, spent the day out, and then wasn't surprised at all by the scoreline. Just saw it to see what the French did. I really rate France, and it's one of those things if you're a neutral or you have a reason to dislike France, it's fun to watch them fail, but you look at them from top to bottom, like, do you find any weaknesses with them?
No, I really don't. After the last World Cup, I mean, I think they've been the surprise of the tournament, because with Colombia and their group, okay, and they've looked good, but, you know, we said Colombia probably have looked the best start to finish. France are right there. France are, the 0-0 against Ecuador, you could maybe scratch out just because it was a bit of a nothing game. They only needed a draw to win the group, and, you know, they had a red card. And
sure.
It just,
but they showed their depth, too.
Absolutely. And, I mean, going up against Germany, I think they have every chance in the world now. I mean,
yeah.
The way that they've done it and the way that they've played and the way they've been together, again, I know we always mention without Ribery, but that's just a massive loss. It's arguably their best player. They've looked good up top. They've looked very good in the middle, defensively organized, which I was worried about them defensively, and you know, they're just pulling all the right strings right now.
Got it. Shortest players.
Right.
All right. Lorenzo Insigne, 1.63 meters.
He's the shortest player.
Really?
Insigne.
Wow. Hey,
no. I'm,
oh, you're on five.
We're going, five actually, also, you know, sorry, he is actually, along with Edgar Salih of Cameroon, who's also 1 meter 63.
Yeah, but the only people that are going to understand this are the Brits. I don't know what a 1 point meter
neither.
Is.
Can actually, you? No, the Brits don't either. This is American. This is metric. Actually, no, this is Canadian, actually.
They're not, 1.8 they're not metric meters. In the States. Is 6 foot, right? So 1.63. Nah, I don't know. It's like five.
Dries Mertens is the third shortest.
Really?
Yep, he's the one that surprised me. Javier Aquino, fourth shortest. Marco Verratti.
Yeah, he's shortest. A smaller guy as well. Mm-hmm. You didn't mention Shaqiri yet?
He wasn't there. I thought he was there.
Wow. Yeah.
Or Valbuena. Interesting.
Yep.
Hey,
isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Towering.
Valbuena is not one of the top five shortest players.
Towering Mathieu Valbuena.
Yeah.
So, do you rate France then?
I do, yeah.
I thought they were,
like we mentioned, and you just said, in the group phase, they were probably the most impressive. Nigeria, they weren't great, but they certainly got the job done, and that's all that matters in the end. I thought, you know, Pogba, huge goal for his confidence.
Yeah.
Huge goal, because he's going to be a star at this World Cup.
Like, he
still
needs confidence, though. Like, he lacks that.
Yeah.
Like, that's an issue.
Yeah.
So, can they do it?
But Griezmann, really good as well, came on for Giroud, and the game changed, right? So, I think you see Griezmann starting the next game.
Even more impressive when you look back of how Argentina, and we'll get to that game, you know, took 118 minutes to score against Switzerland. France pounded five past them. It could have been nine, really. Switzerland are a pretty good organized team and only got, you know, absolutely ambushed by France. Everyone else have been very good against defensively. So it even shows how much, you know, they were unable to deal with that attack of the French.
So France take on Germany, who beat Algeria. Boy, that was the closest one of the bunch, wasn't it? Forget, yeah, you know, penalties for a second here. Algeria were just amazing in that game, and Germany were as bad as I've seen them for a long time.
Really were.
They had no clue going forward.
They were
and
so
at the back,
fortunate.
They're pressing so high, and Mertesacker is so slow. Boateng is hardly a sprint champion either. And I thought they were just being shown up time after time after time.
It was
a great matchup for Algeria.
It was surreal to watch, really. And you felt bad for Algeria having watched them battle through that. I didn't think they were going to make it to penalties. I thought, you know, it's way too much for Germany to chance. They'd have to go for it. They certainly have the better quality. They just waited a hell of a long time to show it. But that second goal where Algeria were quite defeated and wasn't much of a defensive effort on that, and Ozil put it away. Then when they get their own goal, you thought, if you hadn't conceded that, we'd be off to penalties.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, and I think I saw you tweet something about that, but it's a different mindset, I think, once the second one goes in to then, you know, concede. If it was 1-0 still, I doubt Germany concedes that goal.
Yeah,
then you can really sit,
can't
you?
It's very different, right? The whole mindset of, oh, we're up two, it's okay. But I thought Algeria were the better team in the first half. I really did. When you look at it on an even, Germany started taking it to them, but it's that mental thing. And you saw it with the U.S. today. You get to extra time, you think, okay, new game, and you turn off. And within 2 minutes, you see a goal go in. I mean, just absolutely devastating for Algeria, who then think, we did all that for 90, and then it's gone. But you mentioned last week, James, Germany played one good game, and that was against Portugal. That's now three straight lackluster games. If they play like that against France, they'll be gone.
I thought, once again, Love got it wrong, don't you? I know this whole Lahm in midfield thing.
Yeah,
they keep
odd.
Trying, right? Mustafi was a nightmare before he got injured. Thank God he got injured if you're Germany.
Yeah.
Because now maybe they play Kedira with Schweinsteiger and put Lahm back where
that's
he belongs.
I think that's exactly what they have to do.
Yeah, because once that happened, it changed. I know he was kind of at fault for that last goal, but he'd also changed that whole right channel that was so effective after that.
I also think you have to go to closer a bit sooner. I mean, this guy, what else do you want him to do to prove it? He can still score goals, and he's their most out-and-out striker. They're so reliant on Müller to score goals now, and he didn't have his shooting boots on in that game. So, you know, if he's not doing it, who's going to? I think Klose's. He's got to get in there sooner. If not start, then at least bring him on to start the second half if you're looking for goals.
You think, though, that France and Germany match up better together, though, than Algeria does for Germany, right? Because Algeria are just going to sit and, like, just, okay, you press as high as you want. We'll just counter. Whereas France, they want the ball more.
I wonder if they'll be as aggressive. I mean, the first 45 minutes of every one of these matches has been such a feeling out process. I wonder if France are going to, you know, run at them. I'd love it, but I think that they might brace themselves.
But the thing is with Germany, I mean, the one team that really has run at them, Portugal didn't have an opportunity because they were down 2-0 but when they got a man sent off and it was, you know, lights out. So you can throw the Portugal game out. Germany were good. You know, it was impressive. But the Ghana game, that's where they went at them. That was an open game. And Germany conceded twice. Could have been more. The U.S. kind of were happy to sit back and not concede the goals. And Algeria wanted to do the same. So we haven't seen a team other than Ghana really attack Germany with all the vigor that they can. And if they get into a so-called shootout with France, it could be trouble. I mean, France could easily beat them 3-2, 4-2.
I think this could be a high-scoring game.
I think so as well. Yeah. Let's hope so.
Yeah, let's hope so, absolutely.
So who did you say was winning?
I didn't.
You don't want to give a prediction?
I'm not doing predictions anymore. They've cost me all credibility.
I'll go out there, and I think that in listening to the three of us talk about it now, I like France's chances more.
I do too. I picked Germany to win this tournament at the beginning, but I hate to jump off of it, but if I had to right now pick France or Germany to win that game, I think I would go with France.
Yeah, but if Germany or Brazil or Argentina suddenly hit fifth gear straight away,
sure,
we're not surprised by that, are we?
No, of course.
We're almost expecting it at some point.
Yeah.
At some point, but they've all been close to going out now, so it just seems like a World Cup that is not going to go to form for me.
Argentina beat Switzerland 1-0. Switzerland did actually a really good job trying to suffocate Argentina. Typical Otmar Hitzfeld team, right? Finally, we saw, I don't know what happened against France, but that wasn't Switzerland. This was Switzerland. And again, the questions are raised around Argentina. If it's not Messi, who is it? Di Maria was a bit like Hulk, much more involved today, and that's very important. But again, Higuain, Lavezzi
Higuain's
came off.
Useless.
I don't know what happened to him, man. He's been poor. I mean,
Rafa, maybe.
He had one great chance today, and it was a big save by Timmy Howard. But
You got to be worried.
Sorry, to me, how Benaglio? Sorry. Yeah, I don't know.
You really got to be worried if you're an Argentine fan.
Wouldn't you think that Carlos Tevez would have a place in the bench and would offer something different?
Yeah,
he really would.
I mean, Aguero being hurt hurts as well, but that's so obviously a question with him. He's always injured. There's a huge knock on Aguero. It's becoming more and more. It's rare that he plays a spell of six straight weeks without injury. And, you know, if Messi doesn't carry them on his shoulders, and they did a really good job of, you know, shutting him down today, he still found his pockets of space here and there. But you could see that they kind of said, we're not going to let Messi beat us. And, you know, lucky for them, Switzerland didn't have their shooting boots on because they had chances. And Dermot missed a few, and Shaqiri was influential. I thought he was, you know, phenomenal again. They got it all right. And, you know, again, 90 seconds away from going to the lotteries of penalties. And you go to penalties with something like that. You saw it with Brazil, and I think if Germany and Algeria had, or Argentina, Switzerland, the pressure is all on the bigger team.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no pressure on Switzerland there. So
no.
Argentina have to find it very, very soon because, again, they're facing a side that's in form as they could be in Belgium.
I had a gut feeling that if they had left it to penalties that they would be out. I just didn't... There was something bizarre about the way it was going, especially with Swiss looking threatening at the end.
We'll never know. We will never know.
Good for Argentina.
One of these teams that doesn't look like a World Cup winner is going to be a World Cup winner, though, I think. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'll still be staggered if it's a Colombia, even though the way they're playing it's great, but still be stunned.
Wait till it's Costa Rica.
If they end up winning this thing. Yeah, yeah, seriously. Yeah, you mentioned Belgium there, of course, against the States. What a match. What a great 0-0 start. The first half was so-so. It was okay. Second half came to life. I thought Belgium, aside from their finishing, were really, really good. Hazard was a nightmare for the States. And Origi in for Lukaku. Could have had a hat-trick. Was creating, was having his own chances. This kid's 19 years old. He's only there because Benteke's injured.
Yeah.
He's been one of the standout players getting his first start today.
Well, there because Benteke's injured and because Lukaku doesn't look himself.
He does now. Came off, assist and goal.
I think that's you think about both of his loan spells, Lukaku, where once he started, he was being taken off the bench, and West Brom, you know, had boatloads of goals in the beginning, having played 8 minutes, 9 minutes, 18 minutes, 20, whatever it was. Same thing. I think he's like, you know, he's that ace in the hole.
Super.
I don't know if that's the best. Yeah, it's unfortunate because he's got so much quality, but maybe that's the best game plan for Belgium because the rest of the team seemed to play up to.
Well, when he came on, the States were absolutely knackered.
Yeah.
And, I mean, poor Matt Beasler, who was really good today, I thought. You know, he was just out-muscled and was clearly exhausted in that first goal.
He was.
When Lukaku just bitched him and threw him down the floor and stamped him in, set his shirt on fire.
What about DeAndre Yedlin? He woke up this morning thinking he wasn't going to play, and he's marking.
He played well, too, didn't he?
Played really well.
Yep.
Belgium, just, I don't know what Wilmots did in training and stuff, but this is a team that just 70-minute mark hits and they just get stronger and stronger. I mean, the fitness levels and just the way that they continue to play and get better as the game goes on, it's really scary for other opponents because if they get, you know, level with Argentina until the 70th minute, all their goals have come after that and they just continue to find a way and press, and I like how they attack from defense. I got to be honest, with Belgium, I have thought all year leading up, I just thought, okay, they're a good team on paper, and the qualifying was good, but I just don't think that they can, you know, make a far run. I think they'll flame out, and I definitely eat my words already. And again, it's another underdog. I think we have to see a couple of underdogs win in the next round, and any of the four could do it. I think any of the four underdogs could win in the next round. Obviously, all of them won't, but I'd be stunned if all four favorites won, like we just saw all eight group winners
win
in this last round.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that was the round of 16, getting set for the quarters that go on Friday and Saturday. We'll rejoin you at some point between now and the final. Not sure when exactly, but we'll get that sorted. J-Mo, get on that. Boys, thank you so much. Thomas Dobby, Brendan Dunlap, I'm James Sharman. Cheers for listening.